Well, greetings to all of you. It's like that all the time at my house. So, well, first of all, I want to tell you that I am happy to be here. What an opportunity for me. Well, I want to talk to you today and bring to your attention about taking care of the little things in our lives. And keeping up with that, and goes hand in hand. If you do that, you will be faithful to God. And that's you, everyone here, faithful to God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have saved your money, taken off from work if you have that responsibility, and if you're retired, you have to have someone take care of your house and look after things and stop the mail, get in the car and come out here, and make arrangements someplace to stay, but it takes effort. It always takes effort to be faithful to God. So let's go to Luke 16 and 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And Christ is speaking, and he starts in the previous chapter, he's talking about the parable of the lost son, and then he goes into the unjust steward. So let's pick it up in 16 and 10. Of Luke. It starts out, he says, and this is Christ speaking, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteousness, in the righteous manner, who will commit your trust to true riches?" So what he's saying is, look, if you can't take care of things on this earth, why would I commit to you the responsibility of a city and hundreds, if not thousands, if not 10,000s or 100,000s of people to make sure they're taken care of and watched over and they're taught properly? Now, I want to break this down for you, for me, for us. When you start working, when you were young, we usually start at the bottom, and it's like being an apprentice, and you start working. And as the months go by and then the years, you learn your trade. You learn something, how to do it. I don't care what it is, a salesman to an electrician to a machinist. I was had an apprenticeship as a machinist. But your responsibilities increase the more you learn, and you're given more and more. You're even given more pay. In our case, we're given more responsibilities, being in the church. And finally, with schooling and with experience, you become what we call today a journeyman, don't you? And you can strike out on your own. Let's say you're a plumber. You can start your own business. You have enough knowledge. You can go out and earn as much as a doctor if you're a good plumber, which is true. And that's how it's done. And that's the same thing with all of you sitting here. You're an apprentice. You're learning. You're here. And that's what it's about. The career path of a Christian is now in session. Right? There's no turning back. We cannot go look back. Put your hand to the plow and keep on going. And you were chosen, and you're learning how to serve God and what? To be faithful. You've got to be faithful. That's one of the keys. So let's go to Matthew 25 and 14. So we'll go back to the front of the Bible. Matthew 25. Actually, let's start up here in 6. Now, I like to do that. I like to start before where I'm going so we'll get the drift of what's being said here. But 25, Matthew 25 and 6. And this is Christ speaking again. And he says, "And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Whoop, wrong one. Go down to 14. I'm sorry, 25 and 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one was given 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So let's just say he gives the first one $5 million, second one $2 million, and the third one $1 million. A lot of money, a lot of responsibility, a lot going on there. You know, someone give you $1 million, what would you do with it? You know. And then he says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, 17 here. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those students came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. So he came up, let's just say, $10 million. That's a lot of money. So if he was gone a while, that was possible. Now his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. The guy didn't even go to the bank. Or to around here, it'd be one of those check and cash things. Terrible. But it's true. He should have taken and done something with it. And he didn't. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. There it is. And at my coming, I would receive back with my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, ever what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now just think about this. I was talking to Anita this morning, and we can't remember the formula. But if you put your money into an account, I think it's 6%. If you can get 6%, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me after this. But after 12 years, it doubles. So if you take $1 million, something like this, and you can get 6%, okay? And you put it in 12 years, you'll have $2 million. And the guy was so afraid. He wouldn't do anything. He just takes it out back and buries it. And he paid dearly, paid with his life. We don't want to do that. We want to do what Christ wants us to do, and we want to be faithful. And it's taking little steps at first, but now it's time to, you know, really move and be faithful. Because I look out here, and many of you have been doing this for years and years and years and years, and it's time to really step up the pace, whether it be in your head or your actions. Have to do it. So what does this have to do with today and the church service and the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, you're in school, and you're like an apprentice. you're sitting here in class, and I hope you learn something. If we read the Bible, I'm sure we'll learn something. And if we don't, it'll be like a refresher class. It'll be like sometimes you have to go, if you have a profession, you have to go to school so many times a year and get a refreshing class. I have a good doctor, and she has to go off sometimes to Denver, and they have classes for doctors, and they try and bring her up to speed and remind her what she should do. So, what happens during the feast while we're here? Well, I broke it down to 2 points. The first point is, A, God has a plan, and it's usually preached. God has something for you, and it's usually talked about. In fact, everyone so far has touched upon that, and I will too. And B, fellowship with the faithful. You know, Ken Miles, he talked about two can accomplish more than one, which is right on. But think about a room full of people, and you're all together, and afterward you can talk, you can go to dinner, you can set out and have a drink together on the patio. We have the patio bar every night, and it seems to turn into talk about the Bible and different subjects about the Bible. It's really neat. I enjoy it. So we have fellowship, and we're going to learn a little bit more about God and his plan. So let's go to Leviticus 23. And I think this is the one Bob Wright stole from me, but I'm going to read it again. Leviticus 23 and 43. Okay, we'll start in Leviticus 23 and 39. It says, also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day a Sabbath rest. So we did the first part, and here we are in the middle of it. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful tree branches, palm trees, and boughs, and leafy branches, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And you shall keep the feast to the Lord 7 days of the year, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it on the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. And the word booths means a temporary dwelling. And I always feel that I spent a lot of time researching that word because it bugged me at first. But it's just a temporary dwelling. And that's where I am today. I'm in a temporary dwelling. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. And now here. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths, that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He brought these people out, and we're to remember that these days. Think about it. Whole bunches of people out there, and they were brought out, and the whole nation, Egypt, was destroyed. It's really a great story, but we can't forget it. And that word generations right there in 43, if you go to Strong's, H1755, it means evermore, forevermore, for posterity. In other words, don't forget it. It's going to go on forever. It's there. It's what he wants. And we don't want to do Christmas and Ishtar or Easter. We want to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you can't come out here for some reason, you need to make an effort to do it at home, to do something special together with someone, if you can. And if you can't do that, treat yourself. Go out to eat. Read your Bible. Celebrate. If you can, attend another feast site. But we need to do this year after year after year. It's very important. Let's go to Ephesians, and we'll see why. Ephesians 1:18. So let's start just above there. Let's start Ephesians 1 and 17. And Paul writes this, and he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's pretty neat. Paul was a wonderful writer. In 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So you're going to figure it out, what is the hope, what your destination is, and where you're headed. His calling. He called you. You're his apprentice. You get it? You're his trainee. You're his slave. And we can't give up. And then he says of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And that's you guys. If we stick together and we don't give up and we keep the feast and we keep his commandments. It's very important, especially at our age. My, if we go out and do some stupid thing and then die, be terrible. It'd be terrible. Go do something for years. I have known people have done that. They've done this for years and years through their childhood. They were raised. They go out and then they just turned around and went out and did what they wanted to do. Not right. So let's go to Numbers, and I want to show you a faithful person, an example for us. Let's go to Numbers 12 and 7. The most faithful man at the time on the earth. Numbers 12 and 7. And this is a story, one of the stories about Moses. Now, Moses got himself in a lot of hot water. But we'll read here where he is. God loved him, loves him, still, and loved him then, and loved him in this situation. So 12, let's start in 12 and 1. Numbers 12 and 1. So we'll get the whole story. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. Moses had married, apparently, an Ethiopian woman. I guess she was black, I've been told. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. So he heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now, I think it was Bob Wright read about Scripture. And that's true. Wow, what a compliment God paid Moses. I mean, he was the most righteous, patient, humble. And now let's read on to 4. It says, suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. So that's how prophets talk to. Okay. Not so with my servant Moses. Get this. I want to talk about the faithful, and I want you to stay faithful. But he says, he is faithful in all my house. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. You know, I had lunch with Les the other day, and we sat down, and we sat at an angle across from each other at a table, and we speak right on. Les and I can communicate pretty well. And that's how God did with Moses. And in the, I think it's the King James, it says mouth to mouth. No tricky terms or no parables or none of that. It's right eyeball to eyeball. And he told Moses what he wanted. And Moses said, yes, sir. And Moses was faithful. So that's pretty neat. And I speak to him face to face, even plainly, here it is, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord has aroused against them, and he departed. And then as the story goes on, Miriam got skin cancer, became a leper, and it went downhill, and of course she was healed. But the point is this: who was the most faithful person at that time? Moses. Faithful. So faithful, God could come down and look him in the eye and they could communicate. Pretty neat. What a great example that is. And if you ever want to know about faithful, just read that. Let's go to Psalms 31 and 23. Psalms 31. This is a psalm David wrote, and in 31 and 23, it says, now he's talking to all of us, O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. You like to live a little longer and play with your grandchildren or your children and do things? Be faithful. Be true to God. And fully repays a proud person. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Boy, I need that. I'm a heart patient. He will strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. Do you have hope in the Lord? Then you better stick with me. You better stick with me. And he'll strengthen us and give us courage. And we can do things that we never thought. I never wanted to be up here. Never did. And Dell and another man, I did his funeral. They came to me one day and said, we'd like you to speak. And I tell you, I about croaked. I didn't want to. And I, what are you going to do? The opportunity's there. Merv Reed. They came to me, two of them. See how they did that? They read the Bible. Two of them came to me and said, look, we'd like you to do this. Whew. And it's a lot of work for me, you know. And I know I want to talk later about the speakers, but it's a lot of work. And it's easy to be lazy and not do anything, but it's hard to do what you have to do, see. And I'm talking to myself, too. It's hard for me. But we have to do it. It's part of the game. It's part of being an apprentice and a slave to Jesus Christ. So let's go. What's the next one here? Let's go to Psalms 101. Now, so far I've shown you why we need to be faithful. And I've shown you who the faithful are. Moses was a faithful person. And in a few days, see, in just a few days, you're going to return home. And as Gerald Steenport said so succinctly, he said, we will have disappointments in our lives. I wrote that down. You will have disappointments in your life. Going to happen. And right in this room, I've talked to many of you. We have people with arthritis that I worry about them. We have people recovering from cancer. People recovering from cancer surgery. One of my dear friends and went up there with where she had surgery in the spring. And it was the pits, but We're getting through that. We're getting through it. We have people here like my wife. Last year she was in a boot. And then after that it was the other foot. But she couldn't walk. What's she going to do? She could hardly walk. So things get better. We have heart attack victims here, people who've had heart attack. One man who's with us just a few weeks ago, he was in intensive care, but he's here with us today. Pretty cool. And I'm glad he's here with me because I'm a heart attack. I didn't have a heart attack, but boy, we came close. We have all kinds of problems. Stomach ulcers, I could go on, eyes and everything else, from stem to stern. Top of the boat to the back. So, we have these problems. And the list just goes on and on and on. But in a few days, see, you will not be surrounded by the faithful. You're not going to be here. You're not going to have this support group, all this. You're on your own. You have to make decisions. You know, there's churches out there, and I'm just amazed. They don't want you to make a decision. I was in one for a lot of years. They don't want you to make a decision. And there's ministers who don't want you to make a decision. There are people who don't want you to think. They'll tell you the scriptures and how they've got it all figured out and everything. They know where everything. Well, for your own survival, you better stick close to God and you better read the Bible and you better think. And I'm talking about me too. A lot of responsibility to be faithful, to be God's apprentice. So let's go to Psalm, let's see, 101. And let's just read the whole thing. Now David wrote this, and it's pretty good. It says, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. O, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. So he kept the idols, things out of his house. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. So he's saying, I don't want to do anything bad. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to lie, cheat, steal. Very simple. And then he said, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, I will destroy. So if people like crooked lawyers and things and politicians, he was going to get after them. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. And 6, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. The faithful, God's servants. Pretty cool. That they may dwell with me, he who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So he surrounds himself with people that will serve God. Look around. Get it? You're going to be on your own pretty quick. And it says 7, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. See, he's getting rid of all those people. And he's dwelling with the righteous. Who is that? The faithful. And that's where we want to stand. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. And remember, who's going to be in charge all of Israel? Who is that? David. I'm going to be working for him, I hope, someday. Won't that be cool? Taking orders from David? Wouldn't that be great? Sitting at a table and figuring out what to do? Wouldn't that be fun? Talk about opportunity. Just because you're faithful here. Just because you feel your apprenticeship. And you go on to be a journeyman. Very important, so simple. And David was a man after God's own heart. And like it said, I guess he just surrounded himself with the faithful. Now I want to read you something, how this feast was put together. Dell came to me, my friend Dell. And he starts passing off the responsibility. That's okay. That's okay. That's what I'm here for. And he told me, he says, look, would you set up the speaker schedule for the feast? I said, okay, sure. This was months ago. Oh, yeah. And then kind of snuck up on me. But I sent out first of all of you you filled out one of these forms, and the speakers check speaker speaking, they'll speak, and song leading or whatever, it was checked. So I got a list from Mark Dalgard, and he gave me a list of people who were willing to speak. And albeit came out to, including myself, 8. So it's a no-brainer. And I sent an email with my wife's help. We wrote this together. It says, greetings to our speakers for the Feast of Tabernacles 2010 of Grand Junction, Colorado. The feast is about 2 months out, and Dell Ledger has asked me to organize the speakers and the speaking schedule this year. We need to know 2 things. Do you have a preference of when you would like to speak? And then I put in parentheses, no guarantees. But, you know, if a guy's going to put forth that much effort, I want to try and accommodate them. They want to go first, they want to go last, that sort of thing. And please submit a brief outline of your message, where you are coming from and where you're going. And then this is important, I wrote this. A word of caution, no new revelations, please. Because we've been disappointed in the past. People have revelations. I didn't want that. Then I wrote, let's all stick close to the tree and feed the flock. And then I wrote down John 21, 15, 16, and 17. So let's go there. And you guys that read this, let's review this. And so let's go to John 21, and we'll start in 15. See, I wanted to put the monkey on their back, too. See? So they'll have responsibility. And it says, here is Christ speaking. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed the lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend to my sheep. Said it a little different way. And then 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, and I would be just tripping out here. You can imagine Peter and how emotional he used to be. So he's wondered, oh, what's going on? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And I have and still do great confidence in these men that volunteered. Great confidence, more than you can imagine. Because they've been around. They've studied, and they know what the score is. What am I looking for? The word faithful. Faithful people. And you all are, because you're here. And I did write that. All you men are talented and converted, and we have our marching orders, so give it your best shot. How good can it be? How good can it be? Come on, folks. It's good. How good can it be? You're called. You're an apprentice of Christ. You know where you're going. You know what the plan is of salvation and where we're headed. Even with our nation and everything in turmoil, you know where you're going. Come on. It's wonderful. So, we go on, and a few weeks later, I sent this out. Thanks very much to those of you who have responded to my email regarding your druthers as to the speaking schedule and topics. Following is a speaking schedule. If you have any conflict with your schedule speaking slot, please email me as soon as possible. The Feast of Tabernacles is only 6 weeks away, and the brochure is going to press shortly. So I was getting pressure from Mark. Come on, let's go. And I'm trying to. So we got that together. No thanks to me. And it says, if you signed up to speak, you are on the schedule. So if you put your check in the box, you had a job. We need your topic outline as soon as possible. Please keep it brief. Thanks. And then I went ahead and listed all the speakers and the date. Like, I'll just give you an example. On the 22nd, it was a welcome with Del Ledger and the speaker Ken Miles. The 23rd, the next morning, was a welcome with Del Ledger. And the reason I did that and put Del on the spot twice is because I just thought he needed to be more visible and be seen. He is our minister. And just say a few words. And then Offertory, Walter, message Gerald. It goes on down, all you guys. And then I see myself and Rich Traver. And then last day, Rich Davis and Les Jenkins. Well, I hope Rich makes it. Talk about health problems and things. So then I wrote this. I have confidence in all of you. You have great abilities and much to offer. So have fun with it. Have fun with it. And I'm just telling you, all of you who didn't speak, I told them, hey, have fun with it, man. Enjoy it. You may not get to do this again. I didn't say that. You know. Don't say, well, if you mess this up, I'm never. But no, you need to have fun. You need to think about it and enjoy it. Enjoy the words. It's in the Bible. Come on. I said, don't turn a good thing into a harsh task. He who says is the master of doing just that, that's me. According to my wife and me, I tend to turn things around, and I'm it's terrible. I'm a perfectionist in some ways, and it just tends to bog things down and make it harder. But that's just the way I am. So, I just wanted you to know that, because God is running this feast and not anyone here. I mean, he just gave me a list of eight speakers, put it down. It fell into place. They said, well, I'd like to go first night. And, you know, I'd like to do this, I want to do that. It just went together. It happens. It really does. And he's in charge. And hopefully he surrounds himself with the faithful, you again. And the faithful are his servants. It's very important. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7 and 9. I'll give you your marching orders and I'll read mine, okay? Deuteronomy 7:9. It says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. Say, he's faithful. So we've got to be like him, emulate that, and be faithful right back. Who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and what? Keep his commandments. There you go. You got it? You got to go out and keep his commandments. That's your job all next year. It's got to be done. No ifs, ands, or buts. You've got to do that. I've got to do it. And be careful what I say, what I act, how I do things. So I want you to enjoy the rest of the feast. We've got two more days. Two great speakers coming at you. And enjoy the teaching and the fellowship. And enjoy especially being around the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And that's all of you. It's really been a pleasure, and And we'll just keep doing this. Too bad we can't stay for a long time, but I don't think my health would hold up. I don't think I could do that. Anita?